study in 3 John. And what I'd like to do tonight is, before I get into our second, he's actually our third character in 3 John. John is our first character. Last week we talked about, and I was calling him Gaius, and I was just listening to Alexander Scorby, and he said, no, it's not Gaius, it's Gaius. And so I think I'm going to go with Alexander on that one. He knows far more about pronunciations than me. And so I'm going to go with Gaius. All right? And so we spoke of Gaius. See? old habits are hard to break. We spoke of Gaius, and I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about Diotrephes. But before I do, I want to show some contrast and some similarities here between 2 John and 3 John. I think it's interesting. You know, I read something, it may have been Monday, I can't recall when it was. It was this week. And it was very interesting to me that, you know, the brevity of John's letters, they just keep getting more brief. You know, there's the first epistle that John wrote, 1 John. Well, actually, you could go all the way back to the gospel. It was not as brief, but, there was that account. But then when you get to these letters, these epistles, you have, you know, 1 John, it's not really a very long epistle. And then, of course, 2 John is much shorter, and then 3 John is shorter still. So they just keep getting less. But I just find it interesting that John, here's a man with, apostolic authority. And God is, there's a lot going on in his life. I tried to put myself in John's shoes. All the other original disciples have been martyred. And John is kind of he refers to himself in both of these letters, in verse number 1 of 2 John and verse number 1 of 3 John, the elder. He's it. I mean, he is the lone disciple, original disciple that's left. And could you imagine the authority that God had invested in this man, the wisdom, all that he had seen, all that he had experienced in his life, the help that he was to the people that he encountered in his life? And I thought about some of these elder saints of God that we are privileged to cross paths with, and some right here even in this congregation. And that's an honor, brethren. I mean, it really is, that God would place some of these elder statesmen right here in our congregation, that we could draw from their wisdom and that we could learn from them and we could glean from life experiences. And I pray to God that we would not take that lightly. Now, there was a man who did, and we're going to read about him tonight, Diotrephes. He took for granted what God had put in the pathway of his life. And not only did he take it for granted, he despised it. And I think we make a grave mistake when we despise the things of God and the men of God. And Diotrephes did that, and I think that he lived to regret it. But I want to just point out a few things that I think would, I find it interesting, and I hope that you will as well. In 2 John, John addressed the elect lady. Remember? In 2 John. Now, in my Bible, it's laid out 2 John's on one page and 3 John's on the next, so I just can just look across from one page, and maybe you can do that. If not, you might have to turn a page. But he addressed the elect lady, if you'll notice, and then he addressed in 3 John, well, the beloved Gaius, right, the gentleman. And so in the first, in 2 John, it was a lady. In 3 John, it was a man. In 2 John, he urges against receiving false messengers. You find that in verse number 7. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world. And he just, he comes right out and says it in verse number 11. He said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not. Have nothing to do with that individual. Now in 3 John, it's almost the exact opposite. He's saying, receive people who are coming to help. And if you'll notice in 3 John, notice if you would in verse 7 in 3 John, I think it's verse, because for thy name's sake they went forth taking nothing, it's verse number 6. He said, which are born witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, which simply means help them, pay their way if need be. You know, you're helping them out on their journey. Bring them in. You want these men to be before you. You want to be around these people. They bring the true message. And so 2 John's warning against the false message. 3 John is saying, bring in the true messengers. Look at verse number 9. He said, I wrote unto the church of 3 John, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And he's telling these brethren, you receive them. You receive these men. Aren't you glad for good evangelists, good preachers that God has put and brought through Fellowship Baptist Church? We've heard some of the choice men of God. In my life as a believer, I've heard some great preachers, and I thank God for that. And I don't want to take that for granted. I sure hope you don't. I don't think you do. And so John is writing in 2 John, he said, beware of false teachers. And I'm glad that we have that warning, aren't you? I'm glad that we get that warning. I'm going to continue to give it. But I'm thankful that there's men still warning against, listen, now you beware that not everyone that totes a Bible is going to preach the Bible. Not everyone that calls himself an independent Baptist is straight as an arrow. Amen. And so be careful. And then you get over to 3 John, and he's saying, but now don't let that cause you to be so suspicious. Don't let that cause you to isolate yourself. There's good brethren out there too. Receive them. Bring them in, right? You see what he's doing? Notice, if you would, in 2 John, he doesn't really call them the name. He just refers to them as many deceivers. You see that in verse number 7? He said there's many deceivers. In verse 7 of 2 John, he says in verse number 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. You see that in 2 John 9? But when you get over to 3 John, I've already mentioned it in verse number 9, he calls Diotrephes right out. He said, that's a marked man. And I'm going to deal with that here a little later, but John had a message for him. And I would not have wanted to be in Diotrephes' shoes, because I don't think John was one that you would want to just fool around with. Now, yes, he was called John the Beloved, but before that, he was called one of the sons of thunder. Okay? And so I don't think John, I know Jesus changes lives, but also know that you have to be cautious now. God places an apostolic authority in these men, and I think when... And we'll just look at it right fast here in verse number 10. He said, wherefore, if I come. Basically, what I read in that is, Diotrephes, don't make me come over there. I'm serious. Don't make me come there. Because if I do, it's not going to end well for you. Yeah. You know, just for a second, go back to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. You know, Paul said that too. These men with apostolic authority, they didn't fool around, brethren. We've got a bunch of noodle spine men who say they call themselves preachers. Now, I'm not saying be a dictator, and I'm going to preach on that a little bit tonight. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant and mean-spirited, but I am saying operate within the authority that God's given you. And that just doesn't go for the men of God. That goes for every believer. We have authority in Jesus Christ. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, notice what Paul said. Paul used that same term. You know what was going on there in Corinth, right? You know what was going on. Sin was running rampant in that fellowship. And they were mixed up. They were a mixed up bunch. And Paul was setting them straight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's read verses 1 and 2. He said, this is the third time that I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that, here it is, if I come again, if I come, don't make me come. All right? You don't want that wrath. The Apostle Paul don't play. These folks today just turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to sin and folly and foolishness and tomfoolery. Listen, God's not in that, brethren. God's not in that. God's business is serious business. Amen. And Paul said, now, if I come, it's not going to be like a letter. And now let's go back to John. And I'm trying to get you to see the authority and the seriousness in which this man, Diotrephes, has placed himself in with the Apostle John. And John said it. He said in verse number 10, he said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. And so, Diotrephes, you don't make me come down there. And I'm here to tell you now, you don't want to fool around with God's word, God's people, God's man. Amen. That's right. And again, I'm not talking about bullying people. I'm not talking about unnecessary disciplinary action. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about within the framework of Scripture. God expects us to have respect for His word, for His work, for His men, His servants, and for one another. He just does. It's a terrible thing for Christians to be slandering other Christians. That's a terrible thing. Amen. And that's exactly what Diotrephes was doing. We'll get to that in just a moment. So he called his name out. Now, in 2 John, he didn't do that. He just said, listen, there's many deceivers. And he said, he used the word whoso, and if there come any unto you. But here he called him out. And he said, Diotrephes, beware. Let me give you a couple of more things that was interesting to me. In the 2 John, he mentions deceivers. In 3 John, he mentioned, well, the dictator. And I do believe Diotrephes was a dictator. You know, it's been my experience that there are churches that have dictators. And about 50-50 of those dictators standing behind the pulpit. I'm just saying that's been my experience. And I think it's a sad thing. I think it's a sad state for a church to sit under a dictator instead of a servant. I really do. I think it's a sad state. You know, the word minister, brethren, is thrown around a lot, and I think some people have forgotten what that word means. It means servant. Now, I'm going to give you a quiz before I get into just, I have a small outline and a short message about Diotrephes, but I'm going to give you a little quiz. Now, I want you to think. Don't speak out. I want you to think. Who was it that wanted to know who would be the greatest when Christ came into his kingdom? Now just think about that for a minute. See, that's what some people are concerned about. Some people are concerned about who's going to get the most accolades, who's going to get the most attention, who's going to get the most applause, who's going to get the most notoriety, who's going to build the biggest church, who's going to have their name on the front of some religious periodical. And I just think that is a disgrace to the name of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that any of us could not be tempted now, so don't misunderstand me. I don't stand here like I'm all that and I'm Mr. Humble Pie. I'm just telling you that if we do not allow Christ to work in our lives, we will be one of those that will be saying, well, you know, maybe I can sit on the right hand, or maybe I can be on the left hand, or maybe I'll be greatest in the kingdom, or maybe I'll receive all the publicity and the notoriety. Maybe I'll be Mr. Big Shot, you know. I'll be at the top. Everybody will be coming to me for the answers. Who was it? You remember? You ready for the answer? All of them. Yeah. You know, there was an occasion, And I want to show you that occasion, and then we'll come back and close here in 3 John. The reason I'm doing this is I don't think there's anybody in here. If I did, I wouldn't call the name. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. There's no big eyes here. There's no big eyes and little U's. There's not. Now, some people apply themselves more than others. I think you'll find that in about any place, outside of church, even in the workplace. But there's no big shots here, brethren. There are no big shots at Fellowship Baptist Church. We have leaders, and we have members, but we're all laborers. We're co-laborers together with God. You have to have a leadership structure in order for things to be done decently and in order. That's God's way. And it's not going to change. It's just not. God doesn't change his way. But even among leaders, it's servant leadership. You understand that? Leadership is not dictatorship. It's not. It's not usurped authority. It's delegated authority. There's a big difference. Big difference in usurped authority and delegated authority. Authority can take on two faces, and so be really, really careful about your approach and reception and in your execution of authority. Authority must be delegated from God himself if it's going to be done God's way. To usurp authority like Diotrephes, he usurped authority. That authority was not his. He took it. He usurped it. He took something that was not intended for him. And it hurt people. Usurped authority always hurts people. Delegated authority can unite people. Delegated authority can strengthen people. It can further the cause of the gospel. Jesus was a servant at heart. He humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He set the example for us. He nailed and he washed the feet of the disciples to show his humble spirit and his heart of servitude. And he set that example for you and I, that we would learn what it is that by love we might serve one another. God wants us to serve one another as we serve him. That's God's way, right? Yes. Yes. It's God's way. Now somebody's got to, listen, someone has to be out front and lead. Somebody's got to be out front and take the responsibility and bear the responsibility and to lead from the front. But that doesn't mean that person gets to dictate everything, and that person, whether it be a pastor, whether it be a deacon, whether it be a noble member of the church, that doesn't mean that individual has it their way. We're seeking God's way, so that we can do it God's way. Amen? Yeah, we'll get off course a little bit. We'll get a little sideways. It's going to happen. We're human. But when you have a church that's united, we kind of help each other get back into focus, don't we? That's what we do. Now, would you take your Bible just for a moment? And there was an occasion. Turn to Mark chapter number 9. There was an occasion where John and James, they did, let me see if I can find that. I think it's in Mark 10. We'll go back to Mark 9. Let me go to Mark 10 first, okay? Look, if you would, in verse number 35 of Mark chapter 10. It says that Mark 10, verse 35 says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory." Now, we know from Matthew's account that their mother had a little something to do with this, okay? That's Matthew's account. We understand that. Now, here's two of the disciples, and sometimes you'll think, okay, well, that's it. At James and John, boy, they wasn't they something. But now you have to read on, and then you say, oh, okay, yeah, that's what happened. I want you to notice how the other disciples responded when James and John did this. And this is very telling, and then we'll see something about this. Look at verse 41. After Jesus told them, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said, that's not the way this works. You still don't get it, do you guys? That's just not the way this works. You don't understand what it is to be my disciple. My disciple is not making you a big deal. My disciple is you becoming a big servant, a little servant, actually. And so when you go to verse number 41, when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And it wasn't because they felt like they might have hurt Jesus' feelings either. They are upset because they wanted to be a part of it. Why didn't you include us? You think you're better than us? Right? Well, I tell you, you're not careful now. This will sneak into your church. You have people jousting for positions and jousting for authority and say-so and all kinds of stuff. And then we wonder, why aren't sinners being convicted of their sin? Why is the Spirit of God not moving in our churches anymore? Where's Holy Ghost power anymore? Right? And it's because we've got a bunch of personalities. And I'm not being critical here. I'm trying to help us to avoid some things. I'm not saying we're better than anyone else at all. We're subject to the same temptation and the same passions as I'm reading unto you. These were good men. And we just have to really be careful that we keep the main thing the main thing. But more importantly, that we keep the main one the main one. And that's Jesus. Amen. It's not me. It's not you. And so we have to really be careful. Now, so they got upset because James and John asked, and I just know that I know there's an inference here. The reason they were upset was they said, well, you know, who do they think they are? They ought to be. Well, how about me? Now, if you go back to chapter 9, it'll tell you why they got upset. Go back to chapter 9 just for a moment, and look, if you would, in verse number 33. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 33. Now, I know this is elementary. You know this. I'm not teaching you anything tonight. But I do want to remind you, these were good men. They were walking with Jesus. They were involved in his ministry. I believe I speak to some good people. I didn't say perfect people. And we're involved in the Lord's ministry. And God has a place for each one of us. And that place is at his feet, serving others as we serve him. And if we step outside of that place, then we're doing it for our sake and not Christ's sake. We're doing it to build our kingdom and not his kingdom. And we'll get all twisted, brethren. I'm telling you, we've all seen it now, and it can happen. If you'll look in verse number 33 of Mark chapter number 9, are you there? The Bible says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Oh my goodness. He embarrassed them. That's why they held their peace. It embarrassed them. They hadn't come to realize, obviously, that Jesus already knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. The Lord Jesus knows why I do what I do. He not only knows what I do when I do it, he knows why I do what I do when I do it. He not only knows my actions, he knows my motives. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm trying to help us to see tonight. If we get caught up in us getting the glory, if we get caught up in us getting the recognition, if we get caught up in trying to make ministry about us, we've missed it. I mean, in a big way. But when we collectively understand that we are co-laborers together with God, not for God, with God. He's our helper. He's out front leading, amen, if we will allow him to. And as we work together like that, I got to tell you now, God will do great and mighty things. But when we get off in our own personality and we think, well, no, not, this belongs to me. This is my ministry. No, it's not. Stop that. It's not your ministry. So I don't feel that way. Well, if I replaced you tonight and said, listen, we're going to get somebody else to do this, what would that do to you? If I came to you and said, listen, we're going to get somebody else to do that for about a month, what would that do? Would you be ready to leave the church? See, it's easy for us to talk about it and say, well, yeah. Well, wait a minute now. If I came to you as a Sunday school teacher and said, listen, I want you to take a little break. I want you to sit in the class for about a month, and we're going to get somebody else to teach your class. You going to be okay with that? You're going to say, well, you know what? I believe God laid it on the pastor's heart, and so I'm all right with that. But now if you think it's your ministry, if you think it's yours and you don't realize it's his, and he can put in there whomsoever he willeth, then you're going to have a bad attitude about it. Now, I understand people want to serve God, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the zeal. I appreciate the desire. I do. Even a little jealousy over that ministry. I appreciate that. But now, the moment that we think it's my ministry, and it starts right here. This is not my church. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry, and he's counting me faithful by putting me in it. Not, listen, this is not my ministry. I have people all the time, yeah, I think we're going to come down there to your church. I don't have a church. You say, well, this is your flock. Well, wait, let's see what Peter said. Feed the flock of Peter. That's not what Peter said. What did he say in 1 Peter chapter 5? Feed the flock of God. It's God's flock. We're God's sheep, brethren. You see, we've got all this mixed up, and I know you know this. I'm just trying to, I want us to understand. See, when we approach ministry as this is God's work, I think we'll approach it with a lot more, I do, I think we'll approach it with a lot more reverence, with a lot more mindfulness of, I'm doing this in Jesus' name, right? I'm doing this under my Lord, for my Lord, with my Lord. And so, with all that said, and now what? Here's what the Lord did. He after they said that, he told him. He said, "Listen, I know what you talked about. By the way, I know how you've gotten off course, and you're disputing among yourselves who's the best, who's the best preacher, who's the best evangelist, who's the best missionary, who's the best family, who's the best singer, who's the best pianist, who's the best Sunday school teacher, who's the best children's worker. You be the best you can be. Don't you compare yourself with other people now. You'll disappoint your Savior." And we have to fight against this, don't we? The old flesh. We compare ourselves now. We compare ourselves with others. And we'll measure ourselves by others, and we'll think, well, you know, this and that. And that's where we get off base, I'm telling you. That's where personalities get involved. That's where feelings get involved. And we just need to stay focused on doing it God's way and not the way we think it ought to be. That's all I'm saying tonight. Now, I want you to see this, and then we'll get back and close with this, all right? I want you to see what he said here. So, he said, I know what you were disputing in verse number 34. Look at verse 35. And so he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now there you have it. You say, you know, preacher, the reason I want to be first or I want to be best, it's not for me. I get this, okay? There's I think there's some of this probably in all of us. I want to do my best for him. Not so I can get the glory, but so he can get the glory. Amen? You with me? You follow me? There's nothing wrong with you wanting to do your best. As a matter of fact, if you're going to do it for Jesus, give it your all. Do your best. But do it for him. Is that what he just said? That's what he said. Be the best servant there is. Don't you let anybody be a better servant than you. I didn't say master now. I said servant. But what they were wanting to be is the best master. We do not need but one master, and he's the best. He's the best. And so I'm not trying to be the best master. I want to be the best servant to my best master. Amen. Well, if we get this down, all the forces of hell can't stop us. Because this is the way God does ministry, brethren. This is the way God does ministry. And so he set them down. He said, listen, this is what you need. If you have that desire, look at it one more time, and then we'll turn back in 3 John. If any man desire to be first now, if this is on your heart, and you're wanting, I just want to be the best pastor I can be. I just want to be the best deacon I can be. I just want to be the best Sunday school teacher. I just want to be the best pianist. I just want to be the best special singer. You just fill in the blank there, okay? I just want to be the best I can be. There's nothing wrong with that if you're doing it so you can be the best servant of all. Right? Yeah. So let's be the best servants. All right? Well, as we turn back to 3 John, let me give the men and ladies something to carry home with them. I want you to go home. My sweet wife today, I'm going to brag on me. My sweet wife today was going to do something for me, and I said, no, I want to do that for you. Had no idea that God was going to lead me to this servitude thing out of 3 John at this time. I thought about it, and I thought, no, I'm going to stick with diatheses. And she said, what is it with you wanting to serve me? And I said, I just want to serve you. What would it be in your home? How would your home change if you and your wife said, I'm going to apply what Jesus told those disciples in Mark chapter 9, I'm going to be the greatest servant of them all. I'm not going to let my wife outserve me. I'm going to outserve my wife. I'm not going to sit around and let my wife serve me all the time. I'm going to serve her.
Now, wait a minute, preacher. You know, I'm the head of my home.
Yeah, that's right. You want to be the best head? Be the best servant. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Yeah. You know the best people to work for? I love to work for people like this. I've worked for them. It's people that get in there and serve with you. It is. Best servants always make the best leaders. They do. Now, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, you'll see. I just wonder how that would change homes if we just determine I'm going to outserve my mate. That goes for you too, ladies. So don't go home and say, well, you heard what the preacher said. You heard what the preacher said. It's no more me serving you. No, you need to have that mindset too. I'm not going to let my husband outserve me. I know that's what he wants to do, but I'm not going to let him do that. Now, don't get in a fight over who's going to be the greatest servant. You know, amen. But if you must have a disagreement, have it over that. All right, you in 3 John? That's kind of humorous, but I don't mean it to be. I tell you, if we just got busy being servants, a lot of the things that we worry and fret about would go away. A lot of things we sit around and just get all upset about this family and that family and this situation and that situation, if we would just get concerned about serving people, a lot of that would just go away. But we're so concerned that somebody's going to get ahead of us. That someone's going to get their name called twice and ours didn't even get called. And we just need to ask God to help us with that, don't we? I'm said we now. Don't we, brethren? Come on now. We do. Let me give you something about this man, Diotrephes, that I don't like. I don't like it. And we all can have a little bit of it in us if we're not careful. Now, this Gaius fella, I like him. I do. He has many good qualities. We talked about him last week. And so I'm not going to rehash those. I'm not going to reteach those. I do hope there is something about this man. We therefore, look at verse number 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I just don't know that you could be anything better than that right there. You get the truth now. I've told people many, many times over many, many years of ministry, once I got in the truth, brother, nothing else will do. Thank God for truth. Amen? The truth's what sets you free. The truth is vital to a meaningful and purposeful life. I thank God that I have been led into truth. I got a taste of truth, and nothing else will do. I mean, I've had these people try to put these, you know, these emotions and some of this substandard substance on me. Now, I need the pure, unadulterated truth. I'm looking for truth. Get me the truth. You say, well, sometimes the truth's brutal. I know, that's why I need to hear it. Keeps me straight. Amen. I need the truth. Don't water it down for me. And you, listen, the truth sometimes can hurt you, because the truth will confront you right where you are and tell you you are wrong. I'm glad God does that, aren't you? I'm glad God tells me that's wrong. Not, well, you know, it might be, could be. You might want to reconsider it. There's a possibility that, no, it's wrong. And you need to get it straightened out, or I'm going to deal with you. I thank God that God deals with me that way. The Holy Spirit of God deals with you that way too if you're saved. So here's this man, Gaius, and I'm telling you, he's a fellow helper of the truth. You be a fellow helper of the truth, and God will greatly use you. And then there's this man, he's on the other side. So here's what happened. I'm going to give you this, and then I'll close tonight. There was this man that John, he wrote a letter to the church. Look at verse number 9. I wrote unto the church. John wrote a letter to the church. But old Diotrephes, he thought, well, you know what? I'm the spokesman of the church. I'm going to speak for the church. I'm going to take that letter. I'm going to intercept that letter. And I'm going to do with it what I please. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not the way things ought to work. The letter was written to the church. But old Diotrephes stepped in and he took it. And old Diotrephes, it says in verse 9, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, he receiveth us not. He took that letter and he done away with it. Shame on Diotrephes. Who does he think he is? He thinks he calls all the shots. Then no one else has a say. That he's it. And John didn't appreciate it. I'm sure God didn't either. Because the church is the church of God, brethren. The church belongs to God. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. And when God moves on a man to write a church, a letter, and somebody comes along and intercepts that, God doesn't take well to that. And old Diotrephes had a problem. He didn't take Jesus serious. You know how I know that? Look what the scripture says in verse number 9. He said, old Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. You know what Colossians 1:18 says, don't you? It says that Christ is to have the preeminence. That word preeminence means chief, chiefest, first of all, ruler, number one. You know, people run around, we're number one. No, he's number one. There's no we're to it. That position is held by a singular. That's Jesus, amen. And so Diotrephes not only wanted to usurp the authority of John, God's man, he wanted to usurp the authority of God's son. Now you know you're on dangerous ground when you start walking that line. Amen. And John said this. He said, he receiveth us not. So what did John do? You see it? You see what John did? You get the picture here? John wrote the church a letter. Diotrephes gets his hands on it, and he said, "Nah, we're not going to let the church see this letter. He receiveth us not." I don't want you knowing what John said. We don't like John around here. Well, you don't get to make that decision. Amen. I know what the Bible says about not having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. And I know what the Bible says about separating yourselves from apostates and people who don't preach and people who won't give the truth. I'm very clear on what the Bible says about that. But this is not one of those situations, brethren. This is the man of God writing the church of God. This is God sending a letter to a church and a man taking it upon himself to say, "Nah, I'm going to make the call for all of y'all. I don't want y'all having anything to do with John." You say, "Well, how do you know?" Look at verse number 10. He said, "Neither," and right in the middle, see where it says, "Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." He has exercised, and he's taken it upon himself to exercise church discipline, unnecessary church discipline, because he thought it was needful. He thought it was something to do. "We're going to get rid of you." Why? "Because you like John and the people he associates with." Now, wait a minute. Man, this guy had it bad. Some people greatly exaggerate their own importance. Say, "Man, you ever met them? They're there." They greatly exaggerate of how important they are. They think that you want to hear every position they take and every thought they have, and they'll set you straight if you'll give them about half a minute, because they know it all. That's our man. That's our man, Dr. Thies. You know what John did? I'm going to close with this, and we'll pick up here next week. John done two things. John said, look if you would in verse number 1. "The elder unto," not the church, "the well-beloved Gaius." I like that. He said, "Gaius, I'm writing to you personally because I sent a letter to the church, and Diotrephes stole it, confiscated it, dismissed it." I like that. John said, "You're not going to stop me, my friend. I'm God's man. And I keep coming." Amen? I like that. I do. I sense a boldness in that. "Gaius, I just want you to know I appreciate you, my friend. And I appreciate what you stand for. And I want to warn you about a person in your fellowship. I wrote a letter to the church in verse number 9, and he took it, and he dismissed it, and he's turned against the brethren, and I hear that he's turning people out of the church." And then he said, this is the second thing that I really like that he did, not only did he write a letter, but he said in verse number 10, I've already shared it with you, he said, "Wherefore, if I come, Diotrephes, I'm writing this letter, and Gaius, I want you to share this with him, because I want him to straighten up, and if he don't, I'm coming. And when I do," he said, "I will remember his deeds which he doeth." Now, I think that's some serious stuff. I really do. Some people have no fear of God or his man or his word. I'm not saying now. Please don't misunderstand me. We're talking about John the Beloved here. I'm not saying that every preacher, just because they're a preacher, that they're God's man. Don't misunderstand my message tonight. But when a preacher's God's man and he's trying to do the right thing, help him out. Be a fellow helper. Amen? But now when a man, it could be a preacher. I don't know about Diotrephes. He may have been a preacher in the church. I don't know. And he was trying to usurp authority and leadership. I don't know. I've read some strange things about this man. I'm not even going to share some of them. I may next week share some, but not all. Some people really believe that this was the first step toward papacy. And a man ruling the the congregation and withholding information and taking the word, the letter, and holding it to himself and making a decision on who should have it and who should not. I will tell you this. While it may not be a move toward papacy, it certainly has the characteristics of that. Does it not? We'll take the truth. We'll decide what to do with it. And we'll decide who gets it and who don't get it. And we'll let you know what we think. I just know that God is not pleased with that. So what am I to learn from that? Well, I'm to learn that I want to be a Gaius. I want to be a fellow helper of the truth. I don't want to be a Diotrephes. I don't want the preeminence. I want Jesus to maintain. I want him to get it from me. I want to give him the glory. I want to be his servant. I want to be your servant. I want to serve people. I'm not looking for a position in the masterhood. I'm looking for the position in the servanthood. I have a master. I don't want to be one. I have one. I want to be a servant. How about you? All right, let's stand.